This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, football season, that means Steve Fezzik season. His notes today are unbelievable, so we're going to get to those. Also, we've got a ton of Ask the Pro questions coming in, sharpmoney@vsiN.com. Everybody looks forward to Fez on a Monday here on Sharp Money. We love him. Of course, professional bettor Steve Fezzik at Fezzik Sports, two Z's and a K. Don't believe the fake accounts as football season is approaching. I have to start with a bit of a controversial text, and I called you wet blanket, Fez, because you said, let's discuss why all the horse racing discussion is wildly entertaining. However, in my opinion, there is no chance we're going to actually be able to win doing it. Okay, Fez, explain yourself.
Well, we don't win when we're bowling or we're golfing, and it's still, you know, enormously entertaining. So that doesn't mean don't do it. But what I was referring to is when we had a show where we got the racetracks mixed up. So we had one handicapper, Samish, giving out the winners at Gulfstream. And then we had our bettor. Where were you betting those?
He said Saratoga, and I didn't win just one race. I won like three races at Gulfstream with his numbers at Saratoga.
So this is very important, all right? So a wildly entertaining show. I give it an A+. But of course, we are just having fun. We're betting like $5 a race. We're not really like advocating like that this is going to be a winning strategy. We don't walk by roulette wheel and see 33 black came up three straight times. Oh, we have a new system. Like, we're going to bet 33 black. So, you know, the movie A Perfect Mind, I think with Russell Crowe, showed he's trying to find like the Russian code in the newspaper, right? And he captures it. And he determines the patterns, but there is no pattern. If you look hard enough, eventually you're going to find a pattern that was there, but it will cease to exist going forward. So I just want to discourage anyone. Hey, for fun, put $2 down. You're going to bet it anyways. It's great. But you're not actually going to win doing stuff like that.
I'm surprised you never got into horse racing because, it takes a lot of work. I understand it's an arduous process to handicap a card. But with your analytical mind, I would have thought you would get into it. Maybe it's where you grew up. You didn't have a track by you.
Listen, the big difference between horse racing and sports betting is horse racing takes out like a 20% rake. Sports betting at minus 110, it's 4.54%. So if you want to compare apples to apples, imagine trying to win betting sports laying minus 140 instead of laying minus 110. Now, I get all the other reasons why horse racing can be more beatable, but that's four times the VIG. And then on top of it, you're not even locking in your bet. You bet a horse 7-1, what's this? It only paid plus 450 because all this money came in on that horse right at post. So the double whammy of not being able to lock in my bet and the four times house VIG, it's just too onerous. There's lots of people that make a living betting horses. They do it two ways. They get rebates on all their bets, like 10% rebates. Or, and Samish has talked about this, they're chasing like these pick sixes and these promotional things where they're playing against the public for the most part. And oftentimes they're rollovers. So it's like that movie where the dude and Marge go large in the lottery. And they let everybody else lose in the lottery for like 4 days. And then, oh, today the lottery has to pay out. Okay, well, today we're playing the lottery. Today we have an advantage. So that's the way the horse people are winning. But that doesn't mean don't play. It's fun. It's fun to go golfing also. You're just not going to actually win. And anyone's naysayers out there like, Fez liked all the overs, and he was completely wrong. And I was completely wrong, and I did a terrible job with my preseason totals. I'm not going to be right all the time. But anyone wants to disagree with me, I'd be more than happy. I'll put up $1,000. He can put up $1,000. He can do his play of the day in horse racing each and every day for the rest of the year. And if he turns a profit, I'll donate $1,000 to his favorite charity. And if he doesn't, he can donate $1,000 to my favorite charity. Would welcome it.
By the way, I think the movie Large Marge is Pee-wee's Playhouse. Was that it?
No.
Remember that?
It's a movie, Bryan Cranston, a couple years ago. I never saw it. That's the movie, right? It's something.
Someone and Marge go large where they discover a loophole in the lottery due to these payouts that just keep
increasing.
They
own a convenience store or something, so they have like insider info on it.
But they.
All right, well.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Well,
right
it
here.
Was a, it was, look, We agree to disagree, but always a wonderful argument from Fezzik. Now, he does run with a different crowd. Maybe not horse. He runs with your boy George Palanakis with the Reuben sandwiches over there in Chicago. So I don't know if he's a horse racer, but that is. It does appear that he, Mr. Palanakis, is now your best friend. Is that fair?
Paganakis? I don't know his last name.
George P is like my. You know what? I gotta tell you, I'm loving George. I'm worried that he's not the most healthy lifestyle guy.
No, you think?
You know, he's like healthy breakfast, and he's got like his hash browns and his like you know his bacon and his sausage and his pancakes. But I'm a little worried about George. He went to Wrigley Field, Patrick, for the first time in 30 years. I was happy. But I don't think he went with anyone. He went solo. And I was that's not the best plus EV move, you know. You want to bring
No, it's not.
You want to bring somebody with you when you go Wrigley. I love Wrigley and I like Wrigleyville and that's part of my to be a great baseball stadium. Dodger Stadium is disqualified because there's no experience, whereas in Wrigleyville before the game, after the game, you can go to the bars, you can go to the restaurants. It's just a fantastic 8-hour experience instead of just a 2.5-hour experience within the ballpark.
Yeah, no, it's well put. I love when they're built into the cities as well. All right, preseason, we're going to start running through your notes, and we've got a ton of questions coming in for professional bettor Steve Fezzik. Yeah, you mentioned the unders cashing at an alarming rate in the preseason. Why don't we start with your first note today, and we can kind of just give an overview from your perspective. Let's talk about two NFL lines at 2.75. Why I like the Kansas City Chiefs at -2.5 versus Baltimore and Atlanta -2.5 versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I'm going to pull back the curtain a little. NFL bettors love paying strict attention to games that are lined right at that 2.5 to 3 mark. Why? Because you basically can wager risk-free, vig-free, because you can find a Kansas City -2.5 lay $1.10. Or you find a Baltimore +3 lay $1.10, you can make both those wagers, you'll roughly break even. So instead of laying -110, now we're kind of like playing with no vig, so I'm almost forced to make a bet on this game. And Patrick, I have gone all over the place with this game. Earlier in the summer, I laid it with Kansas City -2.5. Then the line went up to 3. And then Kansas City, I started being very worried about their wide receiving core and their issues there. And I said, boy, I got a bad bet. The crack man and I, we have a big bet on Kansas City, and we're starting to buy up some Ravens +3. And now I've come full circle. You know what? I don't like the Ravens. I don't like the newly configured O-line, although it's held up okay. And Kansas City's wide receivers suddenly look good in preseason. So I would recommend at this point, South Point, Kansas City -2.5, lay $1.10. That's the way I would go.
And see, that is the consummate gentleman. He just recommended a book that won't take his bets. You're a good guy.
Tell him Fez sent you. I would make the bet first, though. Yes.
Yeah, definitely get your money down before you mention his name.
Fezzik bopping around the South Point with a fake nose and a staff.
It's like the movie The Sting, where the villain comes in and he's trying to bet on horse racing. The owners of the bookie palace there, they're like, "What's your problem, bud?" No problem. Want to bet on Mystic Dan to win 4-1? Yes.
Hey, that was good. Yeah, Mystic Dan, good. A relevant horse. Tremendous. Fezzik, looking forward to the Traverse coming up this weekend there at Saratoga. We've got 3 up, 3 down from Fezzik, and I think, Dustin, you have a graphic for these. We'll start with your teams that are up. You've got Atlanta, Denver, and Chicago on the up here, Fez.
I love it. We're talking positive. See, Patrick is super, super positive, unlike someone else who might be on the show at times.
Thank you. You don't get the DMs I get from people, Steve. They're very different.
Oh, no. Here we go.
You know what? It's the path you've chosen.
You ever ask someone why they unfollowed you, Steve?
No.
Yeah, of course, because I was going to say you're normal, but you're not.
Dustin's just waiting for Taylor Mathis to get in his DMs.
Trying.
Taylor Mathis is the walking bets gal, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yes. Yes.
Big fan.
Yes, yes.
I'm subscribed. All right, so Atlanta, see, all positive. So the Falcons, I was very concerned about the Falcons. I've checked with my friend Dr. Chow. He's like, Kirk Cousins should be 100%. I like that – subpar defense is getting boistered with the additions. So I'm getting more positive about Atlanta. And so, frankly, I'm aboard. Atlanta, I think, could be a slightly above average team. I thought they'd be an average team. I have an up arrow on Atlanta.
Denver is next. Up arrow for Mr. Fez.
Huge up arrow. You know what? The more I think about this, it's draft night, right? It's that whole experience during the draft. And what do the new rookie quarterbacks do? They make commercials. They buy Armani suits. They just live it up. You know, they've been dreaming about this their entire life. What does Bo Nix do? He takes his duffel bag and he's trying out for all these teams, you know, and he's like got duct tape and gloves in the duffel bag and nothing else. This is a dude that just wants to ball, and I'm aboard. He absolutely looks the part. Looks like he's ready to lead an NFL team. And Denver, they're lined at 5.5 wins. Think about this. The Patriots are god-awful, and the Patriots are like 4.75. And Denver's 5.5, and they're so much better than the Patriots, and they have a quarterback, up arrow, Denver.
Love it. And Chicago, we'll come back with Chicago, positivity only, as an up. And then we'll get to your three downs. And Mike Somich, who generally is paying attention, you're not going to want to listen to one of Mr. Fezzik's downs. That's what I will say. Dustin, you hanging in there? Still kind of have a curmudgeonly look on the face there.
No. You put something in the universe that I'm happy you did. Hopefully, God willing, the DMs open up.
Curmudgeon. Curmudgeon, 50-1, head to the window. Curmudgeon reference.
A South Point from Fez. Fezzik, you're a legend. We're coming back. Okay, the big guy there at the D, along with our good friend and professional bettor, Steve Fezzik, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. A must follow on Twitter for a multitude of reasons. We were just talking. We've got your questions, sharpmoney@vsin.com, coming up. We're going to continue with the three up, three down. But we were just talking during the break. Legacy Club is spectacular at Circa. You're becoming kind of like a Bill A.D. over there, Fez. You're becoming a regular at Legacy Club.
I've been there three times. So I got to give Bill A.D. credit, because the first time I ever stumbled my way up to that Legacy Club, guess who was the first person I spoke to up there? Bill.
So he lives there.
He must be there a lot, because I've seen him two of my three times that I've been up there. But we're the same class at Northwestern. He was journalism, and I was engineering, 1986. So the class of 86, it is a Wildcat reunion at Legacy
that
Club.
That is tremendous.
Yes.
That is tremendous. That is, to say you graduated from Northwestern is a bit of a flex. That is a very good
story. So that engineering degree, how often does it come in handy?
Actually, because I was an industrial engineer, a lot of probability and statistics. But it's interesting. That's going to be my son's backup safety school, Northwestern. So
has he decided or you decided?
He's going to Stanford. Yeah.
He's going.
It's a done deal.
The Bears, 8.5. Big juice to the over. You're high on them.
Yep. Got to lay the minus 160 now. And, hey, I don't like rookie quarterbacks, but I have come aboard with Caleb Williams. I love that presence. You know what? The one play that I love, the scramble for the touchdown, not just what he did, but the fact one of his linemen is like blocking for him. Dude's like in the middle of the field. He's lying down. He's 350 pounds. You know, looks like JVT before he got on the program. And then JVT gets up and runs, and he anticipates. He knows, I've got a quarterback that's so mobile. I got to get my bum up and run and lead the direction and lead the blocking towards the end zone. So clearly the O linemen, they know that this kid is special and he can basically do anything.
Up on the Bears. Now we get to, not negativity, but teams maybe you're not as high on. Steve, New England may not win a game, may win two games. The Patriots.
So my buddy, the crack man, and I split this bet. I love this bet. Actually, I made this bet. I'm sorry, Bill. I made this bet, and I told him, hey, you might want to bet this. I'm already down. You know, it's like I moved the line. But I got New England. Oh, no, I'm mixing up my stuff. He did get us down on this one. New England, under 3.5 wins, alternative total, and we got it at plus 300. But, you know, it doesn't matter. You play under 4.5 plus money, under 3.5, like plus 250. I forget the number I got. You any number. I really think New England's going 2-15. I just don't see a path to them having a successful season at all.
Steve, can we pull up that schedule again, guys? How are they not the last winless team? Where does the first win probably doesn't come till week 9 at the Titans, and even that's they may not win that. It's on the road. Then they have the Bears. Then they host the Rams. I don't know where the first win comes for this team unless there's a quarterback injury along the way. 5-1, last winless team.
Yeah, they're going to be like a 4-point dog hosting the Seattle. And if they don't win that one, then you know what? It's they can just dress up as winless for Halloween as their costume right now.
Pittsburgh Steelers, you're down on them.
Oh, was that? I don't know if you guys saw the Yinzers.
I did.
Ooh. They some rough quarterback play. I know Russell Wilson is going to very, very, very likely be the starter. Fields looks bad as well. Now they, you know, their backup running back, who's really a 1A. Warren is injured. Things are going very wrong in Pittsburgh very quickly. And think about it: Pittsburgh doesn't stack wins early in the year. We know that juggernaut schedule, heavily based within that division, the last 8 weeks of the season. Shocker, Pittsburgh's never had a losing season under Tomlin. Well, now they've had one under Tomlin. They're going to win 7 games. I love Pittsburgh under.
Now, our contest, I've got the Commanders. Dustin's got Carolina. And Samich has the Raiders. The Raiders have announced Gardner Minshew is going to be the starter. You're down on the Raiders.
So now, to be fair, Samich is really, really smart. All right? I'm been so impressed the way and how he's invented himself finding props that are obscure, that the better has the advantage over the book. Like, he's been banging it with bangers in MLB favorites, and he shaves 50 cents off the vig and just say, oh, Yankees not to bat in the bottom of the ninth. I love what he's doing. But he basically, he gamed the system here where he's clever. He knows the Raiders are lined at 6.5, vig to the over. They're the no-brainer. That's the correct answer when asked what's the 6.5 win team that's most likely to, you know, to do well. But I tell you what, you don't have a quarterback and you don't have a coach. You're in deep trouble in the NFL, and the Raiders have neither. And the fact that we just saw this past week in the preseason, we saw every team that was playing their quarterbacks steam through the roof. Denver, you know, closing 6.5 against Green Bay, they win by a zillion. And we have one epic fail, the Las Vegas Raiders. That was just ugly. I'm shocked that they didn't bench Minshew and O'Connell instead of going with Minshew. No. They're paying Minshew too much money not to put him in there. It just looks rough for the Raiders. Interesting game. The Raiders, week 1 against the Chargers, and a quarterback with plantar fasciitis, no receivers, and a brand new coach. And the Chargers are taking money from -3 up to -4. So I don't want Samich to get mad at me. I'm sure he endorses this. Put me down. Best bet. You can get this reduced vig now. Las Vegas, +4. That number is not going to hold. Home game for the Raiders in Los Angeles on top of it. I'm down on the Raiders, but I'm also down on the Chargers. Give me some Raiders +4, even though I don't think that they're going to win 7 games.
Yeah, you're right. It was 3 to start the program. Everybody's 3.5. I see 4s in the market. Plenty of 4s in the market there, Steve.
And this FanDuel. This is important, Patrick. I'm sorry to interrupt, because so often I hear Fezzik chases the steam. All he does is, like, he's an aggregator and he gets the information, and it's simply not true. There's line moves that I think go way too far all the time, and this is one of them. Fine, you want to lay 3 on the Chargers. No good better would have laid -3.5 on the Chargers. Not in a zillion years. Bold prediction, this line will close. Well, it will come back down to 3. It's possible it closes like -3, -1.30, because what will happen is they'll announce, oh, Herbert is playing, and then the second that it's confirmed that he's going to play with his plantar fasciitis, which he likely will, then it might move back up on the Chargers. But 4, even, I don't care, Herbert's out there, he won't be 100%. He hasn't worked with his new skill position players with any practice time. The Raiders are the play in front of a crowd that will be what, Patrick? You know L.A., 90% Raiders?
Oh, 100, yeah. I mean, it's going to be such a Raiders house. You nailed that. What'd the Hitman do? Early pre-movers? You got something from your buddy the Hitman there?
Oh, just, it's amazing, and I don't have them in front of me, but these numbers are popping. He just played Tampa Bay, Miami, over 34, and I think now it's 37. The you blink, and these plays are moving 2-3 points. He or Raz played Pittsburgh -3. I mix it all up. I got to tell you, Patrick, if you know who's good, and you get their play, and it's just being released – it's a no-brainer. You get down. You don't even have to think. I don't. You know, what league did the Steelers play in? I hate the Steelers. They're terrible. I'll lay -3. One of these guys is on it, and then I'll figure out what to do with it after it goes up to 6. I mean, it's just insane how fast these markets now are moving. And I'm a big believer. People, a bit controversial. People get mad. If you think you can just smoke dope all day and then open up like, oh, they're about to play the games, and I'll just take a look at who everybody likes and just look at those teams and just bet those teams like hours later, you're not going to win. You have to get their numbers, and it's going to be extremely difficult to do so. It's winning in sports betting in 2024 is not what it was like back in 1996.
Circa 1986, Northwestern, there were two different groups of people. AD with the crew smoking dope. Fezzik with the guys not smoking dope.
No, Fezzik. Yeah, Fezzik passed Dare class.
I'm going to go on a limb and say who had more fun at Northwestern. I'm going to take AD minus 350.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was like, I had one journalism buddy. His name's Dan Barron, and we went to Vegas together. And I can tell you what. Dan was having more fun weekly than I was having quarterly. He was down on South Campus where all the sororities were and going to really cool classes, and I was like burning myself with the Bunsen burner. It was no fun at all.
Dustin, we'll come back with the questions for Steve. Ask a pro. Could you imagine – now, it's all legal now, so I'm not saying anything crazy. Could you imagine hanging out with Fez one night in Vegas on a gummy?
The fact that he's calling it dope, no, I can't, because no one's called marijuana dope in like 35 years.
Smoking dope.
Fast Times.
A gummy with Fezzik.
I'd split a gummy with you, and I don't even do it.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. What is everyone on dope? Aloha, Mr. Hands.
Steve, movie's like 40 years old.
It's like Kate's, am I right?
Mike DeMone, the actor for Mike DeMone, says, 42 years ago, I appeared in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I carried that subpar cast to success. But, of course, it's like the greatest cast. Even, like, Nicolas Cage is in that movie,
is
of all
he?
Things. Yeah, he's got a small part. And, you know, obviously, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Phoebe Cates, and I mean, they're just, it's just the best cast ever.
We're going to do it. One day, the three of us, Vegas, on gummies, just own the town. And we'll invite Bill as well. When we come back, you've got your questions in. SharpMoney@VSiN.com for Steve Fezzik. That's next. Did you want to pick up that conversation, Steve, on the air? You can, as far as the line movement with the Raiders week one. Essentially hosting here in Los Angeles, the Chargers. Did you want to go through that?
Yeah, just that I gave out to my clients about 2 months ago, Chargers -3 against the Raiders. This was long before we knew that Herbert had his situation with his plantar fasciitis. So I had a healthy quarterback with the Chargers, and I said, -3, let's go. Now I got a quarterback that basically isn't getting any practice time, is not maybe even going to be 100%. And now, magically, the Chargers are 4 because the Raiders' quarterback sucked. Well, guess what? The quarterbacks were no good the whole time anyways. And so the fact that Minshew played a bad preseason game, now we're going to move this line a point against the Raiders, who are basically home in L.A., I'll be more than happy in the middle of the game. Give me the Raiders +4. And by the way, in his book, Chris Andrews, an excellent book, the first one, not the second one. The first one's very good. I think he talks about a Raiders-Chargers game that was lined at 3 that he laid 2.5 and took 4, and it landed fiddle in the middle, and he made 20,000. So great story. History repeats itself. Chargers -3.
Okay, I have a question about the middle thing. Because to me, it's the greatest thing you can do as a bettor is to find the middle, right, and to win both sides. How often are you going into a bet thinking there's a chance at a middle? Or is an opportunity present itself later after you've already placed the first bet?
It depends. All right. So if it's a good story, what do I mean by good story? Let's talk about like some of these teams. Like I'm high on Chicago and Denver and Atlanta. These are good stories. Teams are going to bet on them. But a better story is the teams that people are down on, notably Pittsburgh and New England. Really, New England. Everyone is convinced New England's going winless. So, yeah, I bet a ton on New England under. But at some point, you know, the good story when thousands of people have made the same bet at worse and worse numbers, it becomes overwhelming, and I have to play back. Just by principle alone, there's going to be value because the numbers are going to change to the point that I'll be looking to possibly bet on New England, playing them like over four wins, and of course I'll lose, but I'll get good value versus anybody else that's making that bet. But no one's making that bet right now. If I was an odds maker, I would boom immediately. Anyone's listening, lower your number on New England. No one is going to bet New England over right now. They're not going to bet till 5 minutes before kickoff at the very lowest number.
Time for Ask a Pro. We got emails, Dustin. Let's get them started.
All right. First one comes in from Chris Daytrees in Orlando. One question I've always had when listening to analysts talk about various games and lines centered around the concept of value. To me, the only value picks are the ones that win. Otherwise, that losing pick on a live underdog at 2-1 has zero value in the end. How do you determine value and what does it really mean?
Well, of course, it's complicated, but at best, you want to do an unbiased estimate of what the number should be. So, you know, I just talked with my buddy Hitman, and we were talking about this Charger game, and I had made the game 3.25, and he makes the game 3.75. So what does that mean? That means at minus 3, we both agree we prefer the Chargers, and at plus 4, we both agree we like the Raiders. You know, an easier way to look at it, and obviously when the odds are fixed, imagine you go to a roulette wheel, and you say you can bet on a number, and I can get 39-1 on that bet, or 40, let me round it, 40-1, that's a good bet. And what if I can get 36-1? Well, that's a terrible bet. So this happens all the time in sports betting. In roulette, that's mathematically, it's so clear cut that I can say 41, great bet, 36-1, terrible bet. But yet, you ask any guy that bets a sports future that he bets 40-1, do you still like it at 35-1? What does he respond?
Yes.
Of course. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong on every level. He should say, you know what? Probably not. You know, I really got to get the number that I went ahead and gave out. I know there's exceptions to there's always exceptions to the rule, but even a modest difference like that literally makes a difference. When you add up all your bets at the 40-1s, you might earn a 5% ROI. If you get short paid then by more than 10%, guess what? Your 5% ROI turns into a minus 7% ROI.
Great answer. Great question. Wonderful. From Orlando. Next up, Dustin.
Okay, Eric writes in, and I'm going to clean up something he wrote because I think he made a typo here. So he basically has a question, the value of money in betting. Question stems from a specific bet he found at two different books. Book one, Patriots start the season. I believe he means 0-3. He wrote 0-4. We'll say 0-3 plus 225. Book two, Patriots start the season 0-4 plus 320. Which is the better bet since you get the higher odds in the second one, but you have to open yourself up to locking your money in for another week, along with the chance of New England losing to the Dolphins?
Okay, so the time value money is worthless. I mean, like we only talk about time value money when we're talking about, you know, months and months. So I would say it just becomes the way to do this is you go ahead, they're at the Bengals. So the chance of them winning that game is like 0.22. So the Bengals' chance is 78% chance of winning that game. So the chance of the Patriots being winless after 1 week is 0.78. Their chance of beating Seattle is around 34% maybe. So they have a 0.66 chance of losing that game. You see where I'm going.
Okay,
so,
he meant starting 0-4 versus 0-5. That's what it
okay, is. Okay, so the way you do this is you calculate the chance the Patriots win. So week 3, they're at the Jets. So their chance of winning that game is going to be like 22% also. So you use a 0.78. So you get out your calculator. And so each week you say the chance that they're winless is in this case 0.78 times 0.66 times 0.78. And that number is going to keep coming down. And after those three games, you know, off the top of my head here, it will already have dropped to a little less than 50%. So that's the way you want to use probabilities on the money lines and grind it out to calculate the exact chance that team is going to stay winless to come up with what the number should be versus what's being offered.
That is fantastic because you gave an actionable way for them to approach the question. You just didn't give theory. You gave legit math there. Thank you. Dustin, who's next?
All right, sharpmoney@veasan.com. You can squeeze a couple more in here. Robert Alabaster writes in a couple questions here. So, Steve, what's the best way to take advantage of 30% profit boosts on three-game parlays, but at least two of three must be same game? Second question.
We'll start there, and then we can ask the other question.
So a 30% profit boost is basically gold. The books don't They know they're going to lose, allowing you to play that. So just I would just shop. I wouldn't play big favorites, all right? I would go ahead and play stuff that's close to, you know, even money, preferably in the same game parlay. Do something that's non-correlated. So a three-teamer should pay 6-1 if there's no correlation, you know, penalty. And so think about this. So I get a 30% boost. So I play a three-teamer, it pays 6-1. If I was just flipping coins, it should pay 7-1. So I'm getting short paid by, I'm only getting back 6/7. But if I'm getting 6 times, you know, a profit boost of 30%, now I get 1.8. So now I'm getting 7.8 back instead of 7 being break even. So clearly, instead of being at over a 10% disadvantage, I'm at around a 10% advantage, even just blindly without any handicapping, playing a three-teamer at 6-1.
Okay. His next question, Robert Alabaster writes in, this is a fascinating one. What's the best way to utilize a 20% NFL futures boost? I can parlay divisions.
Let me think about this.
That feels juicy to me.
I'm trying to think, of, is there value because I'm getting, like, let me say I've got two bets that are 3-1 that would win 25%. So they're break even, all right?
Yeah.
So if, do I want to get that 3-1 and get a 20% boost, or do I want to parlay them together? The problem with the parlays is you got to be careful because you want to make sure that there isn't any correlation, you know, that you're taking any kind of haircut. So as long as you're not taking a haircut with it, I like going for it. I say, you know, go ahead and take two teams to win their divisions and parlay them together and get the boost. But I'm not sure. I got to check my math to see whether it makes a difference or not.
That gentleman can reach out to Steve on Twitter if he wants to follow
yes.
up. And at Fezzik Sports.
All right. Next one. Here's Alan Castle. As someone that has clients, do you have a game from the past that haunts you?
You know, that's interesting because I bet all the stuff I give out as well. You
sure.
know, so I know that there are dozens. You know, the number one thing that I remember my betting myself was the Belk Bowl. And and the Belk Bowl famously, I think it was the University of Cincinnati,
yep.
where we had the dog plus like 8. And they were, like, up by 11 with, like, 3 minutes to play, and they didn't cover. It was just the most incredible just combinations of events. I don't think anything has ever compared to the Belk Bowl, except for there was one Bears game once where I took the dog, the Bears. This was the year the Bears went, like, 12-4. But they weren't really very good at all. And my team, I had the dog plus 3.5, and the Bears trailed by 14 with like 2 minutes to play, and I lost in overtime by 6. So those two stand out.
Speaking of haircuts, are you growing out the hair, Steve? It looks like, are you going to be on the same page with me? Are we going to grow it down? Or what's going on?
I'm sad. My wife had a falling out with her hairstylist, and now I don't have one.
Oh, no.
And she did a great job, and so I'm on a hair strike. The hair's just going to grow for a while.
It is hard to find a reliable person to cut your hair. I would agree with that.
Probably,
but it is. We are approaching football season. It feels like
yeah.
It's symbolic to clean it up as you enter a long grind.
I just went to like Supercuts, and they said, "Don't screw it up. I just want a quick trim. Don't do anything." Obviously, they didn't.
It looks good. Hey. You're blessed. You got a full head, like your boy Palinakis on Twitter.
Georgie boy.
You're the best, Steve. At Fezzik Sports, 2 Z's and a K on Twitter. We'll see him next week here on Sharp Money. Family Plays next. Hey, I just want to follow up. We've got our family place coming up with more bets for you this evening. Dustin, can you pull up the email from Ask a Pro? A gentleman asked about the parlay.
Yeah.
And I want to just mention that Steve sat and did all the math during the break because he was obsessed with the question.
Robert Alabaster. It's a good name.
And what was the question again?
Best way to utilize a 20% NFL futures boost, and he can parlay the divisions.
Steve did the math during a break. I just want to say that he said, yes, the parlay is the play.
Yeah. I mean, that you get 20% boost on top of the plus money from the parlay. That feels really juicy.
Here's what I was trying to tell you during the break, and don't worry, I'm not going to give anything away. I have social issues.
Yeah.
That's not breaking news.
It's deceptive.
I wouldn't say I'm agoraphobic, but I keep a pretty small circle. I get anxious. Talking to people is, it's just not my thing. I have a certain amount of people that I talk to. I'm not proud of it, but you're going to have a conversation on the telephone. Maybe today, tomorrow, I don't know. Like, with just a person, and it's great. That's normal. I don't know the amount of money to like approach that type of conversation you'd have to pay me. I don't know how you do it. You're just a very social person, and I give you a lot of credit.
I think maybe it's I'm going to be careful with what I say here. You generally don't like most people. And I don't know.
That is not true.
No, hold on. I don't know if it's that you actually don't like them or if you don't like the potential of having to have a first conversation with a stranger.
Yeah, I like everybody. I just keep to myself.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's what I'm saying. I look at it as an opportunity to like find someone else to connect with. There's a human element here. There's like, just, I don't know. I'm not going to just dismiss people that have given me no reason to dismiss them as potential friend or networking partner down the road.
That's literally giving you credit.
Everyone. I'm open to everyone, except for people who DM me and ask me why I didn't follow them on Twitter or why I didn't
unfollow them. Oh, you're obsessed with that. You are obsessed.
The craziest thing ever. Even Steve Fezzik's never done it.
But you're live on social. You're a very social person. That's the one thing.
Not really.
Go ahead.
I'm not into it as much anymore. I'll tweet stuff and like I'll catch myself getting the endorphin rush, right, of feeling good because people liked it, and then I'll delete it later because I'm like, you know what? That's not good for anybody. Just stay away. Nothing good's happening here. Because at some point, I get the high. When you start reeling off 3 or 4 great ones in a row, and you know what happens? You go too far.
Like, it's weird because even, like, coworkers that have taken shots at me on, like, social media.
Yeah.
It's like,
a lot of them.
I don't even understand it because you could never pull a receipt out on me. I don't mess with anybody.
No, it's even funnier.
Cause that's facts.
A lot of people have never spoken to you in person, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, meaning, I don't even, like, I would never even, it's just not a thing. Like, you know what I'm saying. It's just not a thing. So you can't pull a receipt on me. There is nothing.
It doesn't exist.
Anyway.
You could pull an IOU on some of them, though. Not OU, but other people.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. I almost want to help people. It's like, what? Don't be a donk. Don't be stupid. I'm always going to win.
DJ Khaled over here.
Because it's the long game. Life is the long game. Social media is a short game.
Feels like the wide game for your boy.
All right, let's get to our family plays. Who are we starting with?
The plus money prince, Mr. -110. We were texting a lot this morning, Aaron and myself, looking for some bets on today's MLB slate. He was diving around the Reds. He was looking at the Orioles. He couldn't make a decision. This is what Aaron Halterman from RacingDudes.com ended up with his sharp money family play for today.
Sharp Money Family Play.
What's up, Sharp Money? Back for a new week. Let's kick off a Monday. Let's get wild. Let's go Minnesota Twins +135 against the San Diego Padres tonight in San Diego. Well, look, I think the Twins starting Zebby Matthews. Zebby making his second. What a name, by the way. Zebby making his second start of his career. Got a nice win last time out in his opening game here in Major League Baseball against the Kansas City Royals. Pitched 5 innings, only gave up 2 runs in a 13-3 win. Tough lineup too against the Royals, so that wasn't too bad. Takes on San Diego today, another good lineup, but I think Matthews, pretty good young pitcher. I think he'll be tough in this spot. Michael King on the mound for San Diego. He was sensational last time out against the Pirates. Tougher lineup today, though, taking on the Minnesota Twins. I think the Twins score enough. I think Zebby Matthews holds down San Diego enough, and I think if it becomes a bullpen game, I like the Twins in this matchup. So give me, to kick off the week, the Minnesota Twins at +135 for my best bet of the day.
All right, there he is, racingdudes.com. He had a little extra pep in his step on a Monday, Mr. 110. He's on the Twins plus price today.
Vibin'. Also, his podcast, Dudes Who Bet Sports Podcast is the name.
Who's next?
John Bowman, former scout for the Blue Jays. He has Baseball with Bowman. All the information on his Twitter, @JohnBowman11. And he has got a baseball play for his Sharp Money family play for today.
What's up, Sharp Money? John Bowman here from Baseball with Bowman, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play for today. We're going to go with the Athletics on the money line plus 105 against the Rays. It's Joe Boyle against Taj Bradley. Joe Boyle just recently got called back up. He pitched well to start his most recent start, but then he got into command issues, which is kind of where he usually gets into problems. On the other side is Taj Bradley, though, for the Rays. He started off, he was pitching amazing, but he's really struggled his past couple outings. The Rays just finished playing an extra inning game at home across the country. Their bullpen's very worked. They had to travel all the way back to Oakland for this game. Oakland won a series against the Mets. They split against the Giants. They're 16-10 since the break. So I like the Athletics at plus money at home here.
Wow, we're getting a lot of plus money prices. I see our buddy Manny Davison, Sharp Money Survivor, part of the family. He's got a future in hockey. We'll hold on to that.
Yeah.
We'll get it in this week. It's not time sensitive.
Promise.
As it stands. But again, I'm not taking shots at you. I was giving you a compliment for being social. I don't want you in your head ruminating now.
No, I'm not about that. One thing that's weird for me is my instincts are I don't want to be around people, but then I get around people and I do feel I thrive. It's very like odd opposite like dichotomy there for me where I prefer to keep to myself and be alone, but the second I get up and go and I'm around people, I do like feel better. I don't know.
You light up.
Yeah, it's weird. Although,
like a big Christmas tree.
You mentioned me having a phone call later. It's going to be a weird conversation. I matched with this young lady on a dating app the other day, and not every message she's sending me, but like every third message is a voice note, and I think it's psychotic behavior on her part, and it's freaking me out.
Why? That could be sexy.
Just type it out. I can feel the fake voice she's putting on. It's just, she's pretty, so I'm going to roll with it, but it is a turnoff that she keeps doing the voice note thing. I think she wants me to send one back, and I'm just not going to.
Also, it's hard to understand when she's like, no, see, por favor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is true.
You know what I'm saying?
And if she wants to hear my voice, she can download Sharp Money wherever you get your podcast. We're available on just about every platform.
Or she can check you out in the documentary tonight that's Aaron on Never mind.
Unless she works for the production company that made the one that didn't get greenlit. That's the only way she can watch that one.
Let's close some tabs before we get out of here.
All right. Agoraphobia is an anxiety disorder that causes an intense fear of being in situations where escape might be difficult or help wouldn't be available. I thought it was the fear of Al Gore.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible. I don't think I have agoraphobia.
No, you don't. You don't. Our Sharp Money survivor, Jake Novakovic, not to be confused, as you mentioned, Jay Novacek, played for the Cowboys, retired at 33, really good, coming off his best year, 705 receiving yards. I once had to do a book report on a famous person from Wyoming in fifth grade, and I literally called the Dallas Cowboys every day for like three straight weeks to get an interview with Jay Novacek. He would not return my calls, so I had to do my book report on Buffalo Bill Cody.
You know who else? You could have done your book report on
who?
The vice president.
Who?
He's from Wyoming with Bush.
Cheney?
Yeah.
He wasn't famous back then.
Fair enough.
Before
Anything
his time.
Else?
Kalen DeBoer, just want to point out, he won three NAIA championships. Not like he's going to Tuscaloosa without any rings. Brian Daboll is no longer an offensive mastermind. He's an Ozempic mastermind. Nicolas Cage, he was mentioned during the show. He's going to play John Madden in an upcoming movie.
I've only seen one Nicolas Cage movie. It's the one about leaving Las Vegas.
I think it's called Leaving Las Vegas. I've never seen it.
Tremendous movie.
All right, last one, 08, the release of Lady Gaga's debut album, The Fame. One of my favorite songs is on it. Do you have a favorite Lady Gaga song?
Here I am, here I am. I'm gonna go in that poker face.
Poker face, okay. I'm a bad romance guy. Bad romance.
That's a banger. Listen, great job, Dustin. You did a great job today. We'll see you tomorrow. Sharp Money. It's V Sports Betting Network.